This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Tightrope Media Systems is one of the oldest companies in the digital signage ecosystem, with roots tracing back to 1997 in Minneapolis. Co-founder J.J. Parker bought a stack of books and taught himself coding to come up with what was then called a video bulletin board system for local schools. They managed to sell a license, and then another, and then another, and Tightrope turned into a real company with employees. More than two decades later, Tightrope is still at it and doing well, with some 40 employees and a digital signage product called Carousel that's focused on two key markets, education and workplaces. Carousel works on Apple TVs, and it's not one of those cases where a developer got something to work and not much more. The platform is integrated with enterprise-grade management platform software called Jamf, and Apple's education sales team actually buddy calls with Carousel. Parker kindly took a half hour away from a working vacation in Madrid with his family to walk me through the roots of Tightrope and where things now sit. So JJ, thank you for joining me. I understand you're on holiday, but you're taking a break from fun to do this.
I am. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And you guys have been around for a long, long time. I believe you, the company goes back to 1997. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. So we've been doing digital signage, before digital signage was a word.
Mm-hmm. I was looking on your website and it said you started doing video bulletin boards for schools. And I was trying to think, okay, what is that? And I assume that was the name you came up for digital signage.
Yeah. Well, only us old timers are going to remember some of those phrases, but
yes.
Yeah. So when we started the company, it was me and, one of my buddies, and he was working at an AV dealership in the Twin Cities, and he was teaching teachers how to use this multimedia authoring software to put, things like the lunch menu and the sports scores and things like that in the hallways in schools. Mm-hmm. And he was the trainer, and he would go and train them how to use this piece of software. And, he'd kind of complain to me like, oh man, my job, I have to go over and teach these teachers over and over like the same thing. And we both realized that the software wasn't made for teachers. It was, made for technical folks and, multimedia artists of the time, right? So we set off to figure out how to make software that was easier for teachers to put those messages and communicate with the students, right? And, late 90s, very early web technology. But what we thought would be the coolest is if we could have the teacher type something into a web page and then have that show on the TV in the hallway, right? And that was what was called video bulletin board, was showing messages on a TV. And those were, again, for the old timers, those are big old tube TVs hung in the corners of the hallways, ready to crush children. But we hung them up there anyway. So we tried to find a computer programmer to build us what we were envisioning, like a web page where you typed information in, it showed up on the TV. Programmers were like, yeah, you guys, those two things don't connect, they have to connect. It's like, it shouldn't be that hard. So we couldn't find anyone to help us out. So we ended up getting a small loan from his mom, a stack of programming books, tall as a kitchen table. And I programmed the first version of the software, and he sold a copy of it to the Wayzata Public Schools in the Twin Cities. And, we kind of were solving a problem, right? The problem we were solving was communicating with students and having the people creating the content just be regular people, not graphic designers. And that's kind of the core of our carousel product still today.
Was that a holy shit moment that, oh my God, somebody actually bought this?
Yeah. I mean, in full disclosure, everyone's, you got to understand that even though I say words like old timer, we started that company when I was 19 years old. Right. So, like, you know, obviously we're a very different organization today. Back then we had literally no idea what we were doing. I mean, you know, but that's just what it takes, right? It takes like some fresh eyes and some hustle and, you know, we start solving problems in different ways. And some of those like core values about that we were working on back then, you know, are still alive in our software today. And I think that's like a really important bit. But yeah, you're right. As soon as we started having customers, and my big holy shit moment was our first employee. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm responsible for this guy's like food and rent. That was my big moment.
Was it at that point where you also realized, okay, now that I've done programming, I'm never doing programming again?
Yeah, I think everyone will be happy to hear that there's no more of my source code in our product anymore. But I did the coding for a lot of years. You know, we were still a small, scrappy company in the early 2000s. And, you know, I coded a lot. And my business partner, Andy, sold a lot. So, you know, it was just kind of a very entrepreneurial spirit back then.
And I'm just curious about this. Did you know anything about programming? Where is that like something that you like to do, or was just, okay, somebody's got to do this. We can't afford anybody, so I'll figure it out.
Well, I was going to art school. Like I'm an art student, you know, I'm kind of an art kid. So not really.
No, not but, at all.
So not really a programmer, but, I was really fortunate as a child. My dad actually started off as a teacher in the 70s, and he was very early in the school district that he was working in, very early in technology, right? So he was driving a lot of the technology stuff at the high school where he was working. Eventually, he actually became the director of technology for the school district. As that kind of became a role. But during my entire childhood, he was always like bringing home the latest Apple II, right? I would go to summer school for little coding things. So I always had a very technical, I'd say, upbringing because of my dad and this very early exposure to technology. So really, the programming part wasn't real difficult. And it dovetails in kind of with the art thing, because art is all about solving problems and working around limitations, and programming's very similar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good, nice balance of things, because so many of the early products, really in anything, they're designed by engineers with no sense of the user experience or what the output is on the screens. It's just like, look how cool this is. We got it to do this.
Yeah, true. I hope we've been able to blend some functionality and aesthetics and usability together.
So you started in schools and it kind of twisted and turned, and you found your way into cable systems. Was that out of necessity or something else that just kind of dropped in your lap?
Well, you know, this is kind of like a bit of tightrope company history, right? So we started, the company's name is Tightrope, making the video bulletin board product. I also, one of my early jobs was working at a cable TV station, right? And so it was just doing like recording the high school football games and concerts and doing the television production bit. And then playing back those shows on air. And so I was very involved in the community access and that sort of stuff, you know, kind of in my high school and early college years. And then after we started Tightrope, we had this one product and we were thinking, you know, maybe we can bring another product to market. And based on the experience that we had in this, in the TV market, we made a product called Cablecast that automated the day-to-day functions of these small TV stations. So again, kind of born directly out of our own experience, solving our own problem. We made that product, and today that's like an entire team at Carousel or at Tightrope that runs our Cablecast product line.
Yeah. So these days, Tightrope is really one company with two brands underneath it, right? You've got Carousel for digital signage and Cablecast.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. For many years, the whole team worked on both products. But nowadays, because mature products in more mature markets, I really felt that it was important that we had the teams focused on their markets to better serve the customer, right? The signage market and the broadcast market are different, and we kind of need to service them in slightly different ways. So one company, two brands.
Right. What was the point, or has there been a point when the digital signage stuff started being serious and there was enough here to be a real company and really pursue this, as opposed to, oh my God, we sold another one?
Yeah, that's a great question. For us, the real transformation, I think for the entire industry, this is when the industry actually started, was when flat panels started becoming cheaper, right? I remember, I don't know if it was like 2000, 2001, something like that, some poor display manufacturer lent us one of the very early flat panels. Thing probably cost 10 grand.
Yep.
We plugged our product into it and burnt it in within like 15 minutes. So obviously, like, the very early part of signage was a little rough because we're dealing with a lot of technical limitations. But as soon as those panels started coming down to, you know, the sub-$1,000 range, you know, they became more cost effective than, in some cases, printing, right? Mm-hmm. One of the early things was kind of like, use signage to not print stuff. Printing was still fairly cheap. But also back then, digital signage was super sexy, right? Like, oh man, if you're the kind of company that can buy a flat panel and hang it on your wall, you must be really techie and cutting edge, right? So I think in those early days, it was also a bit of an aesthetic thing. But really, I think the turning point was when those panels became cheap. Mm-hmm. Then people were actually able to buy them and put them all over the place. And then we started realizing, like, oh, wait, we can use those for advertising, employee communication, you know, transit systems. Like, it's very useful technology. So somewhere in that mid-2000s, you know, I think it really started taking off and especially for us. Like, we did a lot of signage business in the early 2000s, kind of in that, I'd call that the heyday,
right,
of the market.
And a lot of what you guys do continues to be education, and you also do quite a bit in workplace. Have you these days tried to stay focused on those two things? Because it's very easy to get into every vertical going.
Absolutely. Again, sort of coming through the heyday, having our company come through the heyday of signage, man, we are in every single market. We have a customer in every possible market you can probably think of. Mm-hmm. Maybe just one, but like all of them. Yeah. And so we were selling all over the place, right? And then, but which was great, you know, I mean, it's good for the business and everything. But what ended up happening is that we were having so many use cases for the software that it was from a user perspective, it's really hard to design a piece of software that works for everybody. Yes. Right. And I would actually start kind of using this phrase around the office, like, if we're designing it for everybody, we're designing it for nobody, which means like, it's too thin, right? Like, yeah, it works 80% for everybody, but it doesn't work really awesome for like us one person, right? Or one set of people. So in the past couple of years, I've been working really hard on getting us to focus on just two markets. Now that doesn't mean that Carousel doesn't get sold into other markets still. But from a software design perspective, from a marketing perspective, we're really staying focused on corporate communication and education. Mm-hmm.
And those are very different markets to sell into. I would imagine the lead time for selling into education must be quite long because you're talking about annual budgets and everything else, whereas business might have one meeting with you and you've got a PO like 2 days later.
That is true. certainly education has a longer sales cycle. You know, the other you know, thing that's kind of been happening that I've been noticing as a shift in the market, and this has actually kind of helped us with that long sales cycle that you mentioned in education, is a lot of facilities, a lot of customers actually have most of what they need for digital signage already, right? A lot of them already have panels on the wall. Mm-hmm. Their buildings are maybe even designed with panels on the wall, but they just don't have anything to put on there.
Yeah.
So when it comes to what we do, the content management software, a lot of the times that the customers are saying, well, you know, we have these Apple TVs or and monitors on the wall. We just need something to drive the content. And so for us, then that conversation, that sales cycle gets real quick because we can say, hey, you know, sign up for our software as a service. It's a monthly thing. You know, connect your Apple TVs and away you go. We've been really successful at shortening the sales cycle with that sort of product offering mm-hmm. that we've come out with in the past year.
And when it comes to schools, is it primarily K-12 or are you predominantly in university and college?
Well, I'd say our second biggest customer segment is higher ed.
Okay.
So we do a lot of business in higher ed. As you heard my sort of our startup story and sort of my background, obviously, I'm pretty passionate about K-12. I basically grew up in K-12, you know, having my dad in the position that he was. Mm-hmm. So I really have a soft spot for K-12. And I think I've always wanted to solve a very particular communication problem in K-12 schools, which is communicating with students in the classroom. Using visual communications in the classroom, mm-hmm. because I think that's a really important, you know, safety thing and just inclusion thing, right? Like if we're only doing audible announcements over the loudspeaker, you know, like you and I had when we were kids, you know, you're missing part of the student population that I can't hear that. Right.
Yeah.
And then other people just receive information in different ways. So, I've always wanted to do visual communication in the classroom. And what's awesome is with Carousel and our Apple TV player app, kind of in conjunction with the device management software and what Apple's doing with Apple Classroom, we can actually finally realize that dream in a very cost-effective way. So long answer to a short question was, we do a lot in higher ed. I'm really excited about what we're doing in K-12.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So let's talk about Apple TV. I know that you guys, I think it's a couple of years ago now, introduced your support for Apple TV. And any number of companies have looked at that little set-top box and said, that's a fine little potential digital signage player, but we'd have to work with Apple, and that would be a son of a gun to do. And, you know, we're just not going there, but you guys have and have had a lot of success with it. What's different about the way you go at it?
I don't know what's different about the way we go at it. I'm a big Apple fan. I think they engineer a really good product. Certainly when we were doing the initial research on can we use an Apple TV as a media player, we did all this research before Apple had come out with the App Store and the ability to even install your own app onto the Apple TV. But once they released the generation of Apple TV that allowed custom apps in the App Store, I thought, okay, what a perfect little box, you know. And the big thing against Apple in our signage market is, hey, it's a consumer level device. They are a consumer company, right? Mm-hmm. They will kill products like without any notice, right? I mean, some people have probably had Macs that they kind of got dead ended on, mm-hmm. right? So Apple certainly is a large company, consumer focused from the outside, a consumer company. So we consider all those things because we don't want a customer to play like hundreds or thousands of these things and then get stuck down the road, right? Mm-hmm. We're in a fortunate position to know a handful of people at Apple. We have a very strong partnership with a company called Jamf, who is the number one mobile device management software for the Apple ecosystem. Mm-hmm. They have some very strong ties with Apple. So kind of working with them and Apple, you know, we really did took the time to understand can this be an enterprise level signage media player? And we came to the answer that's like, yes, it can be. It has enterprise security features. It's got enterprise level deployment in conjunction with Jamf. We're currently controlling, thousands and thousands of them. Not a single one of them's failed yet. When we incorporate it as part of this connected classroom story for K-12, it's just the most elegant little device you'd ever want to put in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And it's cheap. Costs $129.
Yeah. I would imagine, because for school districts and universities, anybody would be familiar with an Apple TV. You don't have to go in there and say, hey, it's this little Linux driven solid state device that you've never heard of from a company you've never heard of, or it's a Windows based PC and don't worry, everything's going to be fine versus right. An Apple TV. And I, as you say, I think the big moment there was getting that enterprise level device management for it, which otherwise it's a great little set top box, but what do you do? How do you even know if it's operating in the field unless somebody calls you?
Yeah. Right. And I don't know why. I think it's, if you don't know the Apple ecosystem, you don't quite understand the level of rigor that Apple puts into enterprise security. Mm. I mean, it's truly impressive when you get into the depth of the security on your iPhone and all across our whole iOS product line.
Is there enough activity for people at Apple to even know you're out there and that this use case is out there? Because I would imagine it's like a fraction of a percentage of their overall Apple TV sales.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing that we've got going for us is that Apple has an enterprise sales force. They have an education sales force. Apple TV is something that they're really trying to push, and we have a really beautiful use case for that Apple TV across education and enterprise. So we get a lot of inquiries from folks at Apple. So we do road shows with them, we do sales calls with them. We're pretty, we try to support them as much as possible.
Which is great, because if you call up a school district and you're just calling as Carousel Digital Signage, it's like, who are you? But if Apple wants to come in, I'm sure the IT people and whoever are saying, well, this would be a cool meeting just to have Apple come in.
Oh yeah, totally. We actually have this awesome story where Eric, who runs the Carousel team, he graduated from Bethel, which is a local college in the Twin Cities, was trying to get a meeting with them to sell them Carousel and the Apple solution. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even get a meeting. And he even knew the people by first name, right? Couldn't get a meeting. The Apple SE walks in the door, says, oh, you guys should run the Carousel software on these Apple TVs. They instantly get a meeting. Right? So the Apple folks have a little more sway than we do.
Yeah, no kidding. So you also took the company from just being enterprise, I think, to cloud in the last 2-3 years, right?
Yep.
That was based on customer demand that, look, we just don't want to run servers on site. We need you guys to do that.
Yeah. You know, in the early days, you know, we sold appliances and they kind of ran the server software. But, you know, nowadays, but there's so much SaaS software. It's just a part of, you know, most organizations' IT stack. And it's just kind of demand, right? I don't run an email server anymore or anything for our company. We're 100% SaaS software that we use to run our operations. You know, as the market's kind of change from an IT perspective, SaaS is obviously a key part of the offering for signage. And it makes really good sense for signage networks too, because, you know, if you can unwrap a signage player, plug it in your network and have it go hit the CMS that's in the cloud, and you're from like shrink wrap to signage in like a few minutes. It's awesome. Right.
You guys do a lot of trade shows, and it at least looks, because you have big presence at like Infocom a couple of weeks ago, that you sell quite a bit through the channel. Is that primarily how you go to market, or do you have like direct salespeople as well?
Yep. We've sold through the channel for 15 years. The AV resellers in the US are great. Obviously when customers need installation services and all of the other things that go along with signage, right? The software is not the only part. There's like a lot more to it than just the software. We sell through integrators, some K-12 stuff will sell direct again, mostly because lining up with the Apple ecosystem, Apple has direct relationships with these people and we kind of mimic their sales channel. Mm-hmm. For the rest of the market, we generally sell through our integration partners.
Do you do anything beyond the software? I know a lot of CMS companies, because they're looking for new lines of revenue, they're getting into front-end consulting, they're doing content creation, they're doing managed services, that sort of thing. Are you into that at all, or have you kind of left that to your integration partners?
We don't. The two things we do beyond the actual CMS software, we do some graphic design service to kind of reskin channels and make the signage look like the customer wants according to their brand standards. Yeah. And things like that. And then we have training, of course, and that's just done through our online mm-hmm. training platform. One of the core tenets of our Carousel product is that it's got to be easy enough for regular people to use. So that's why, you know, we never offer content creations, services or anything that'd be kind of like a violation of our, the pillars of our mm-hmm. software. If you need us to make it, then we didn't do a very good job of allowing you to make it.
Yeah. I remember getting a demo of, maybe a year and a half ago of a new version of your software. And I think one of the key tenets, as you were describing, was make it easy. And it was very progressive. So you did one thing and then there was a prompt to say, now you do this. And then you, after that, it was, yeah, it would step you through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that pretty essential to do?
I mean, for us, you know, again, we really are focusing on the idea that, I mean, for us, you have to keep the content fresh on the signage, right? People stop looking at your digital signage if the content's not fresh. So For us and our customer base of, you know, educators and just regular people in corporations, how do we help them keep that content fresh? Well, we make a tool that it's super easy for them to update that content, or that content updates by itself using, you know, data feeds integration. So, so for us, focusing on just like the ease of content creation is really what we're about.
Where's the company at these days in terms of size and everything? And is everything just in Minneapolis, St. Paul, or do you have like remote offices in Europe or God knows where? Other than the kitchen table you're at in Madrid right now.
Yeah, in Madrid, right? Yeah. What are we? I think the whole company is something like 42 mm-hmm. people. We do have, we don't have any official, our corporate headquarters in Minneapolis. I don't know, 20 people work out of it or something. We do have an extremely flexible remote mm-hmm. work policy. I basically want people to be able to work from anywhere in the country or world they want to work. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of architected the entire tool set for our employees around remote collaboration. So we do have people that live, you know, all over the United States, Canada. Obviously, I'm working from a different part of the world for the summer. But no official other offices other than our Minneapolis.
And office. You're privately held still?
We are, yeah.
When you started 22 years ago, as you said, we're just kind of making it up as we went. You saw, as you described, the heyday. And now we're in a position where digital signage is matured to a level where big companies like Apple know it exists. And it's reasonably easy to explain why you should have this. But on the flip side, you've got no end of companies involved in the space and seemingly more still coming in. Is it an easier business to be in now than it was 10 years ago, or, you know, the challenges remain?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, back makes me reflect. Again, back in that heyday area, time span, and you saw it. I mean, there was like new digital signage companies like every week, right? Like, and just crazy ones like these guys that make metal mounts are now in signage yes. software, or like, here's Google and then Google's gone. Like just craziness all over, like new like Digital Signage Expo must not have had, you know, it must have flipped the roster like 50% every year, right? These companies have come and go. The nice thing that's happened now, I feel like that's happening, and it's really helpful for the customers, because like I've always said that the signage market is so fragmented that if I was a customer, I would be really confused at like who does what, right? Because everyone for so long claimed that they did mm-hmm. everything. But what it seems to be happening is a handful of us companies that are the mature companies that are, you know, delivering very clear value into the signage market are starting to find their niches, right? Like I explained earlier, I actually pulled back and focused on the education and corporate yeah. niches, right? You've got other companies that focus on the retail niche, which is a different problem to solve than the one I'm trying to solve. So it's nice that things are starting to get clearer as far as which company services which niche and what value they bring there. I think it's helpful for the customer. And frankly, it's helpful for us too, because we're not competing with like 100 random people. We just, you know, kind of have the same set of friends that we compete with.
All right, JJ, thank you very much for taking the time with me. Close your MacBook and go have some tapas.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 69, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.